Hello, this is Frank Falvey with Frank Presents. And today it's my privilege and honor to have the Franklin new director of Arts, Culture, and Economic Development. Welcome to the town of Franklin,
Corey Shea. Yes, Corey. Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Frank. I appreciate it.
Corey, let's begin. And you grew up in the town next to here.
I did. I grew up in Medway, and it was a great experience. And as I mentioned to you a few times before, I came over to Franklin quite a bit when I was a kid. We always came to the carnival every year for the 4th of July. And also, I was taking dance classes at the Franklin School of Performing Arts. So I still have to go walk up the building, but I have such vivid memories of running up the steps because, of course, I was always late for class. But it was such a great memory of being in this space and creative in this space.
How did your parents introduce you to the arts?
My parents still are extremely supportive of the arts. So my older sister was very, very attracted to drawing and painting. And then kind of like by default, they were like, okay, you do this too. But luckily for me, it was something I was also interested in. And my parents consistently exposed me to new art forms, brought us to museums, really did a lot of trying to show us all different avenues of performance and visual art making. So I feel very lucky in those regards.
What museums would you go to?
We would go to Mass MoCA, which is quite a hike from here. So that's, where is that? It's in North Adams, so a little past Western Mass, almost like you're driving to New York. So we would go there, we'd go to the Clark Museum, the De Cordova in Lincoln. Really, my family used art as a way for all of us to bond together, which it's funny just thinking of, like, my dad would be like, yeah, I could bring you to a playground, but like, what am I going to do? So I always appreciated that whenever we did things together, it was as a unit and it was something we all could have something to take away from. And art is the perfect vehicle for that.
So Sturbridge Village, Plymouth Plantation?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we'd go there. I went there for field trips in school, those were great living museums to see a snapshot of time, which is an interesting perspective of a museum.
What in your vision is also included? What other types of things?
Well, I really think, my personal background is visual art making, but I also think the written word, poetry, writing, creative writing, public art, murals, performance art, dance, singing. It's really whatever people want to say is their art form. I think they're correct in that. Like, for example, this is your art form. You're being creative, talking with people in the community and producing it on a larger platform. So that's your art making.
And how over the years had this exposure developed that you went to college and studied this area?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So my undergrad, I was, getting ready to go off to school, and even just figuring out where to go to school is hard just because you're like, I don't know, like a lot of pressure on those decisions. So I did my best in deciding to go to UMass Amherst, which I think was a good plan for me. I wasn't sure exactly if I wanted to follow art. I just knew I needed it in my sphere of my world. So actually, when I went to UMass, I didn't get into the art program. And it was the first time in my life that somebody like blocked my access to art. And it was like, what? It just really blew my mind. And it very much just inspired me to be like, well, who are you to tell me no, that I can't participate in art making? So I redid my portfolio and applied again, and then I got into the program. And then by the time I was graduating my senior thesis, I won like best in show or whatever, prize that they had when you're leaving the program. So it very much gave me my first real kick in the butt of if I want to do something that I want to do, and if I want to put my art out there, I have to be the person to hustle to make it happen. I can't rely on other people in that way to pave the way for me, which can be difficult in creative careers, but it's that passion that creative people have, that you want to follow your dreams and make sure that you're really focusing on things that you care about. So that was really my first major wake up when it comes to art, that there's lots of blockades in the way.
All right. Do you play a musical instrument?
I don't. I tried to play the trumpet, but I didn't know how to read music. So didn't work.
Sing?
It didn't work out. I used to. So when I was in high school, I was in my high school musicals, and that was fun. But
do you write?
I would like to say yes, but it's mostly like in grants and snippets here and there. I wouldn't say it's a consistent practice.
You wouldn't say it's critical reviews or novels or short stories?
No, no. I mean, maybe one day. Everybody's got a little novel or short story in them, I feel like. But not yet.
Do you do sculpture?
I dabble, yes. Which something else I realized, like post, graduating BFA, is that throughout the program, they really kind of narrow down what media you should be focused on. And it kind of made me forget about all the other art-like things I would make. And the past few years prior to my daughter, I was really exploring a lot of sculpture. I made this piece that was exhibited in a few galleries called Loss of Security. And I made a bunch of these like wooden houses with shingled sidings, and then I lit them on fire. And then I installed them. It was honestly like, it was all about the process for me. It was really fun and a way to just, drastically change something you worked so meticulously on. It was an interesting piece.
Gingerbread houses.
I want to say that, they're wooden and, maybe that's what I got to explore next is gingerbread houses.
Well, I'm thinking all of the ones around Christmas time made out of food.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe. Yeah. And they'll light those on fire. Scare everybody.
So what hands-on creative did you do? You mentioned you want to first in your class.
Yeah, so that was for my digital imaging work. So that was, I was actually taking a lot of these old photos that I collected through my family and scanning them and then reimagining them in different kind of surreal scenarios. And it was my way of really trying to understand my relatives as people opposed to just as are my relatives. So a lot of my Grammy's photos of her growing up in the 1930s, I took those and like reimagined her in these surreal settings, which was generous of her to let me, use her in that way.
So can you basically explain what is graphic arts? All I picture is a computer?
Yep. So I did it with software through Photoshop. At this point in time in the world, everybody has all the accessibility to do all these editing tools on apps on their phone. So I'm sure there's a whole slew of mediums and things I don't know about. But in my time, I was using Photoshop for my media, my vehicle.
So you have had a lot of work experience. Mm-hmm. And you've had the college education.
Mm-hmm.
How have you blossomed in understanding the larger arts world, and particularly in a community or in a family?
Yeah. Well, I think by the fact that I tried so hard to gain access to the art world as an artist, it gave me a great perspective of what I wish somebody was doing. So when I would be entering a show, I would have ideas of like, well, this would have been better if they explained this way. Just really being my experience as an artist gave me that infrastructure link of this is what needs to happen on the other side to make this go smoother. And that happens through internships and setting up markets. And really the best way that I personally learn is actually doing something. So that's kind of just always been my workflow of like, well, I'll figure out the issues and work through it the best that I can and just keep trying things. And I think that's the basis of good community work is compromise, willingness to meet people where they're at, as well as just trying things and finding people that want to try things with you.
I would imagine that your position is not existing in many Massachusetts communities.
I think you are correct. So I feel extremely lucky that I'm here. But it feels like something that a lot of towns should have, because thinking of Franklin, Franklin has so many amazing pockets of culture and so many community members that are invested. And it's just a matter of just me wanting to be that person that centralizes information, and as well as bringing more artists and just more opportunities to the community. I want to look at myself as a uplifting and supportive element to the community. And I think that's what a lot of, you know, town culture should offer.
What is the town asking you to do? I mean, they must have...
There's a list.
People watching, I need to explain that Corey is probably not even a month on the job, a few weeks.
I think this is week three.
So you're in a creative moment. You don't have anything particular program to follow.
Yeah.
So you need very, you know, the glass is half full.
It really
you have
is.
You have all sorts of opportunity.
Yeah, it very much feels like that too.
Yeah.
I feel like since I've arrived, I've just been really trying to familiarize myself with the history of the town and really finding out tidbits of honoring the culture that already exists and making sure that I'm bringing it with me wherever that may go, and when it comes to bringing more public art and cultural programming to the town. A big factor, or I should say a big project that I'm definitely already in my way with, is rebooting the sculpture park, which is over by the police station on Panther Way. So the DPW did a fantastic job of really resetting the space. And right now I'm working on building the infrastructure and logistics and building the call for artists and really just building out the community partnerships and expectations of artists in the town and kind of being that in-between person of putting it all together.
And what might be some of the other lists that the town has asked you to look at?
Well, the town's asked me really just to be like the central point of information and bringing more economic opportunities that relate to culture. So something that we've been discussing is the fact that the World Cup is going to be at Gillette in, I think, 2026. So thinking about programming town-wide, like what does that mean? What type of markets should we have? What group should we be involved with? So it's a lot of planning. It feels strange to, well, because I'm new, I'm still, it's like that's all I'm going to do for a little bit is just keep on planning and then have some programming come to fruition, which I'm excited for.
But even more exciting than that is the celebration of American history. What is it? In 2000, is it 26? Is the celebration of the Revolutionary, beginning of the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, someone just mentioned that.
And that Jeff Roy, our representative, I believe, is on the committee at a state level to do a lot of that nuts and bolts planning of how that should be. So, you know, that's got to be a Franklin history.
Oh, for sure.
Directly relates to that.
Especially just in, you know, like a surface level of participating, thinking of coming over to Franklin as a kid and going to the 4th of July carnival. Like, it's just like there's such a nostalgic staples that this town has that I'm really excited to keep carrying on with that.
And the parade and all the other activities that went with it. That's going to be absolutely kind of fascinating. Mentioning the economic part of it, right? I gather that probably one of the things that I just saw is we're going to have a front porch program.
Yeah, Porch Fest.
Porch Fest. That I gather originated in Franklin, Tennessee. Now, I been to Franklin, Tennessee, not for the Front Porch Program.
Yeah.
But I can really picture how that might work and, and how different organizations would be able to have stuff at their facility or or in the case of
porches.
The museum on the porch.
Yeah. You know, I definitely am stepping in learning more of what the community has already have in motion. So I know that there is a committee for Porch Fest that has been working very hard in getting all the logistical details, which I can't imagine that must be difficult in finding the right porches, making sure it's walkable for people. And the town of Somerville for years has done a porch festival. Which,
well, they have.
Yeah, it's really like a lovely event that really is inclusive to all community members and an awesome way just to support local musicians too.
I used to be involved for 10 years. I was the treasurer of the Bread and Roses Festival in Lawrence, Mass. And 1 year I was its president. And I learned that one of the real difficult things is for non-profits that are ethnic groups. They have a very difficult time. One, accessing money. Two, becoming a 501c3 corporations. And I know we have a growing cultural with people from India and the Dewar, I'm going to ruin the name, festival that they put on. And yet someone like you can really help guide them through the nuts and bolts of being a nonprofit and having their culture and how to support it. I imagine there is a lot of grant money in places throughout the United States.
And, yes, there's a lot of grant money up for grabs. I want to make sure I get it and funnel it back into Franklin for us. And there's also a lot of support from cultural institutions within Franklin, too, that are already doing that. So I imagine that my role and involvement for that is just supporting and making sure that funding is going into the right spots. And as you mentioned, helping community members really just be that contact and support system if they're applying for grants, because grants are a fickle, they're a fickle beast sometimes. You know, I've written a lot of grants, I've gotten them, I haven't gotten them. I've been on the review panels for some, and it's an interesting process. It's really, it's a lot of bias of whoever's in the room and whoever's reading, you know, your proposal. Hopefully it connects with them. So my role, I feel very much will be a support system in that way.
I'm not particularly aware of any organization that could act as a financial nonprofit that either in the arts community, like say a high school, right? A high school can have endowments. The alumni could found a group and people could endow that if they so choose with money. I think possibly Franklin could be a type of community where you could think about endowments and maybe in a broader area to do it. So there's all different ways of doing things. My experience as treasurer with a nonprofit, it's a learning experience, even if you're an accountant, because it's nonprofit accounting, and it
that's very true. Nonprofit energy
and raising the money for the festival. There is a knot to the whole thing.
Absolutely, yeah. It's all about also all those timelines, getting a calendar organized too. Thinking of your calendar out there, it's like that's the calendar that I need to put in my office to get myself organized.
Yeah, it's a good calendar outside. What are some of the things that you worked at jobs and have done? What type of organizations have you worked with?
So I've worked, like, as I mentioned in our radio, I first launched my career at Starbucks because I had wonderful health insurance. And then I worked at Skinner, the auction house. And that was a for-profit art-related business that I really enjoyed. It was a wonderful experience. Learned so much about artifacts, antiquities that I still hold on to, especially because I love to thrift and buy, you know, things on the secondhand scale. And then after Skinner, I worked at a nonprofit member-based art gallery in Cambridge, which I really loved. It was a great opportunity to work with groups of people that were making all different types of artwork, sculpture, 2D hanging, 3D hanging. So it was a lot of like working with people, with figuring out how to install in the best way. Very creative people that needed kind of that in-between thought of how do I get my artwork in a display situation. So I love doing that because no day was the same. It was always something new and kind of wacky, which I enjoyed. And then after I worked there, I worked the previous place I was working as a director of an art center in Cambridge. So that really shifted my focus into more community programming and art education and working a lot with kids, which I hadn't done prior. And working with kids, they're wonderful. They will humble you in ways you never knew. But it was refreshing. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and that seems to be a big thing in Franklin. Mm. Franklin has one of the largest populations of people under the age of 18 mm-hmm. than any other city, mm. both from a percentage point of view and from a raw number point of view. Mm-hmm. So the possibility of families and people under the age of 18 is so mm-hmm. great here in Franklin and so wonderful.
Yeah. It really is a great point to bring back of what I loved about growing up with my family was doing activities we could all do together. And I really want to make sure that I also am bringing that type of programming to the town where everyone in your family can participate yeah. and enjoy the culture.
Yeah, that is absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. Let me ask this. Is there a question that I haven't asked you that you'd like to talk about?
You know, I don't think so at the time, but I know how to find you to follow up.
You do.
Yes.
Well, I'm here with Corey Shea. Corey, could you give us a title and your title?
Sure.
And how yeah. can people reach you and contact you?
Great. So my name is Corey Shea. I have my business card here because, as I mentioned, I'm about 2 weeks in, and I want to make sure I say my email correctly. It's cshea@franklinmass.gov. And please email me or let's go get coffee and chat. I'd love to talk anything arts and culture and community related. Thank you so much, Frank, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Corey, for coming down, and I appreciate you coming on this program.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
This program was made possible by your Franklin friends and neighbors. Good folks just like you. Thanks for supporting Franklin TV. And thanks for watching.